practical instruction. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, June 14, 1896. Recopied August 11, 1896. Dear brother and sister blank, last Friday night I was conversing with you, telling you something with reference to your methods of labor. The heavenly watcher stood beside us, and I wish I could write every word he uttered, but I fear that I cannot. You said, I wish I knew in regard to my duty. In some way, I do not feel satisfied with the result of my labor. The voice of the one beside us was then heard saying, have faith in God. Learn of Christ Jesus. When you handle the sacred truths of God's word, keep Christ uplifted. Your great need is to learn Christ's manner of teaching. When you are teaching the people, present only a few vital points and keep your mind concentrated on these points. You bring unimportant ideas into your discourses. These are not always a savor of life unto life and have no real connection with your text. By wandering from straight lines and bringing in that which calls the mind off the subject, you weaken all that you have previously said. Disconnected presentation of truth. God would not have you think that you are impressed by His Spirit when you fly from your subject, bringing in foreign matters which are designed as a reproof and which should not be named in connection with the words of solemn and sacred truth. By doing this, you lose your bearings and weaken the effect of that which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You have made of none effect many precious ideas by mixing them with other thoughts which have come to your mind, but which had no bearing upon the subject. That which is far from the subject under consideration should find no place in your discourses. There are in this world hearts that are crying aloud for the living God. But helpless human nature has been fed with distasteful food. Discourses dissatisfying to hungry, starving souls have been given in the churches. In these discourses, there is not that divine manifestation that touches the mind and creates a glow in the soul. The hearers cannot say, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? An abundance of chaff is given to the people, but this will not awaken the transgressor or convict souls of sin. The souls who come to hear need a plain, straightforward presentation of truth. Those who have tasted of the word of God have dwelt long in an atmosphere where there is no God, and they long for the divine presence. Gird up the loins of your mind that you may present the truth of God acceptably. Preach the truth in its simplicity, but let your discourses be short. Dwell decidedly on a few important points. Realize every moment that you must have the presence of the Holy Spirit, for it can do a work that you cannot do of yourself. If you have any burden of a disagreeable character on your mind, get rid of it by personal labor or earnest prayer before you come before the people. Plead earnestly with God to remove that burden from your mind. Keep decidedly to a few points. Give the people pure wheat, thoroughly winnowed from all chaff. Do not let your discourses embrace so much that weakness shall be seen in the place of solid argument. Present the truth as it is in Jesus, that those who hear may receive the very best impression. Evils of long sermons. Speak short. Your discourses are generally double the length they should be. It is possible to handle a good thing in such a manner that it loses its flavor. When a discourse is too long, the last part of the preaching detracts from the force and interest of that which has preceded it. Do not wander, but come right to the point. Give the people the very manna from heaven, and the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. The teacher of the Word of God must first talk with God. and then he can stand before the people with the Holy Spirit working upon his mind. If he faithfully cooperates with Christ, the promise will be fulfilled. Lo, I am with you always. Be careful never to lose a sense of the presence of the Divine Watcher. Remember that you are speaking not only to an unenlightened assembly, but to one whom you should ever recognize. Speak as though the whole universe of heaven were before you, as well as the hungry, starving company of God's sheep and lambs, which must be fed. Preach the word.
Those who claim to preach the word should preach the word, ever remembering that they are laborers together with God. He is their efficiency, and if he is given opportunity, he will work for them. If they are humble, if they do not rely upon their own supposed wisdom and ability, God will place arguments in their mind and speak through their lips. He will also impress the minds of the hearers, preparing their hearts to receive the seed which is sown. My brother, a daily work must be done for you by the power of God, or else, instead of the Holy Spirit, the enemy of God and man will stand by your side. Under his influence, weakness will appear in your work. The most precious points of faith relative to the salvation of the soul will be marred and mutilated in your hands. Unless you change your manner of labor, you will give a faulty education to those connected with you in the work. Let your heart struggle and break for the longing it has for God, the living God. Let nothing divert your mind from the work of God to unimportant matters. Will all your God-given energies work earnestly and prayerfully, calling upon the church to cooperate with you? Put no trust in yourself, but rest in the assurance that God is the chief worker. You are only his servant, and your work is to voice his words. Ye are laborers together with God. Denying of self. Take no glory whatever to yourself. Do not work with a divided mind, trying to serve self and God at the same time. Keep self out of sight. Let your words lead the weary and heavy laden to carry their burdens to Jesus. Work as seeing him who is at your right hand, ready to give you his efficiency and omnipotent power in any emergency. The Lord is your counselor, your guide, the captain of your salvation. He goes before your face, conquering and to conquer. Dedicate yourself, soul, and body to him, banishing all self-indulgence. Deny self, take up your cross, and work earnestly for the Master. Do not needlessly expend your strength by giving long discourses. This uses up the vitality, so that insufficient strength is left to devote to the most important part of the work, house-to-house ministry. The work of an evangelist. Teaching the scriptures, praying in families, this is the work of an evangelist, and this work is to be mingled with your preaching. If it is omitted, preaching will be, to a great extent, a failure. You need to be jealous of yourself. You and your wife need to come close to the people by personal effort. Teach them that the love of God must come into the inner sanctuary of the home life. If you so desire, you may have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to help you in your work. We are carrying the last message of mercy to a perishing world, and God calls upon us to bring freshness and power into our work. We can do this only by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Hereditary tendencies and wrong habits must be disciplined and oft crucified. Humble yourself under the hand of God, for your ways are not God's ways, and you both have much to learn in the school of Christ. Last night, these words of instruction were spoken to you. Counsel with your brethren. Your plans need the careful consideration of other minds. Warnings have been given in regard to depending upon men and trusting in their wisdom. The tempter aims to lead men astray by persuading them to cease looking to Jesus for strength and efficiency, and to make flesh their arm. This has been done in many cases. Satan has laid his trap to catch men and win them to his side by trying to prevail upon them to depend upon their finite, erring fellow men. A special danger of extremes. But when a reproof is given upon this point, the enemy takes the counsel given and presents it in such a perverted light that those who desire to follow their own judgment feel at liberty to plan and devise important measures without counseling with their brethren. Thus, another error strives for recognition. Men go to an extreme in one direction, and if corrected, go to an extreme in the opposite direction. You will be in danger of making mistakes if you move out in your own supposed wisdom. You need counsel. You have not the efficiency for all classes of labor, and you should not commence work in important places if there is danger that you will lay a foundation which you cannot complete. Light must be expressly given by God, and duty must be clear and unmistakable before one or two men enter new and important fields. You need to counsel with your brethren, for there is danger that you will run too fast in devising plans and methods.
Words which never should have been uttered have been spoken to you with reference to your brethren. The misconceptions existing in other minds have been communicated to you, and your mind has been led in a train of speculative thought that is not safe or correct. Keep watch over your thoughts. Guard closely the impulses of your mind and heart. Words have been spoken that have led you to place more confidence in your own plans and methods than is right. Words slip from your lips, unbidden and unsanctioned by God. Take heed, lest, when the time comes that you can prove yourself a friend and fill a friend's place by giving sound counsel, you are unprepared. Importance of counsel with brethren. You must not walk independently of all counsel. It is your duty to counsel with your brethren. This may touch your pride, but the humility of a mind taught by the Holy Spirit will listen to counsel and will banish all self-confidence. When counsel is given that conflicts with your personal wishes, you are not to think that your own wisdom is sufficient for you to give counsel to others, or that you can afford to neglect the counsel given. Wherever you may labor, there is need that you blend your efforts with those of other efficient laborers. You are not a complete whole. You cannot successfully complete a series of meetings by yourself, but you can do your part with other laborers. This may be humiliating to you, but it should not be, for God has given a variety of gifts, and He desires that these gifts blend in perfect harmony. You need to realize the danger of viewing matters from your own standpoint and with your own eyes or discernment. It would be well for you frankly to state your plans to your brethren, that you may know how they appear to them when seen from their standpoint, for circumstances may be so vividly impressed upon your mind that it is impossible for you to give an all-sided judgment. Let your plans be closely investigated, and with earnest prayer, commit your case to Him who knoweth all things. Counsel together. Let not the whisperings of your own mind or of other minds close the door of your heart against the counsel of the Lord's servants. August 9, 1896. I have written this to you because it is a serious matter, involving serious consequences, which will affect future work in other localities. Brother Blank needs no flattering words from you, for he has a full estimation of his own abilities, and makes them appear by demeriting others. He does not realize that he is seeking to be first. He is not prepared to take upon himself the responsibilities of a minister of the gospel, for he needs a humble and a contrite spirit. He needs to continue to give Bible readings, and when his brethren see that he is fitted to become a preacher of the gospel, this will be made manifest. You need caution. The canvassing work. I cannot see why the canvassing work is not as good and successful a work as can be done for the Lord. Canvassers can become acquainted with the people, they can pray with them, and can understand their true necessities. From the light which God has given me, there is much responsibility resting upon the canvassers. They should go to their work prepared to explain the scriptures, and nothing should be said or done to bind their hands. If they put their trust in the Lord as they travel from place to place, the angels of God will be round about them, giving them words to speak which will bring light and hope and courage to many souls. Were it not for the work of the canvasser, many would never hear the truth. The canvasser should carry with him books and pamphlets and tracts to give away to those who cannot buy books from him. In this way, the truth can be introduced into many homes. Of all the gifts which God has given to man, none is more noble or a greater blessing than the gift of speech, if it is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. It is with the tongue we convince and persuade. With it we offer prayer and praise to God, and with it we convey rich thoughts of the Redeemer's love. By this work, the canvasser can scatter the seeds of truth, causing the light from the Word of God to shine into many minds. Does not belittle the gospel minister. I sincerely hope that no mind will receive the impression that it belittles a minister of the gospel to canvass. Hear the Apostle Paul's testimony. You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The eloquent Paul, to whom God manifested himself in a wonderful manner, went from house to house with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. A most precious ministry. I've been shown that the most precious ministry can be done by canvassing, and that by ministers. By doing this work, they will obtain a varied experience, and will be doing the very work that the Apostle Paul did. I copy an extract from an appeal made to our brethren in regard to canvassing for our periodicals and books. The canvassing work is an important field for labor, and the intelligent, God-fearing, truth-loving canvasser occupies a position equal to that of the gospel minister. Then should the canvasser feel at liberty, any more than the ordained minister, to act from selfish motives? Should he be unfaithful to all the principles of missionary work and sell only those books that are cheapest and easiest to handle, neglecting to place before the people the books which will give most light, because by so doing, he can earn more money for himself? The canvassing work is a missionary work, and the field must be worked from a missionary standpoint. Selfish principles, love of dignity and position, should not be once named among us. The thought of seeking to become the greatest should never come into our minds. Mrs. E. G. White. Extracts from recent communications. We are living in most solemn times. The gospel in the Old and New Testaments is not to be contemplated from a narrow, single aspect, as one or two men, or even many men, may view it. How large, how broad, how extensive is the gospel? I have been writing upon this subject for years, and have much written that I cannot now place in shape to be handled. I have had but a trifle of editing done for 1 year. I speak the things and write the things that burden my soul, whether men will hear or whether they will forbear. I must work. I must watch. I must pray. I must consider nothing in a narrow, contracted style. The Lord Jesus, in his instruction, was pleased to fashion character after the divine likeness. Truth and error are both in the field, striving for the mastery. The champions of truth will have a fierce conflict. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The warning comes, and the directions are repeated. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. All that the Lord has told you, it devolves on you to do. No one need be deceived, if he will make the word of God his study. How little is the book of Revelation studied! It is a hidden mystery to the religious world. And why? Because the events not pleasant for consideration are so faithfully traced by the prophetic pen. And people who are in any way troubled about the matter are soothed by their shepherds with the statement that the revelation cannot be understood. But it is to be understood, for it especially concerns us who are living in these last days. Read Revelation 1, verse 1 to 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Read the last chapter of Revelation carefully and prayerfully. What significance there is in the statements of this chapter. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. This is the most effectual teaching that can be given in the church built for the sanitarium. And this testimony is to be given in all the churches. Wherever there is an opportunity to reach the people, the attention should be called from the earthly to the heavenly. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We are to voice the words of the angel.
We are not to drift into worldly channels. Consider the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of Christ's ministry and at the close of his life, his personal labors in the guise of humanity. Whom did he find intent on gain? The Jews had made the courts of the temple a scene of sacrilegious traffic. They had turned the ancient and sacred institution of the Passover into a means of vile profit. They bartered deep, turning the once sacred service instituted by Christ himself into a worship of mammon. But Christ came suddenly into the temple courts. Divinity flashed through humanity, and, raising a whip of small cords in his hands, with a voice that they will hear again in the execution of the judgment, he said, Take these things hence. It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. These priests and rulers saw, as it were, an avenging angel with a flaming sword, such as guarded the way to the tree of life. Today, this sacrilegious work is being more than repeated. There will be messages born, and those who have rejected the messages God has sent will hear most startling declarations. The Holy Spirit will invest the announcement with a sanctity and solemnity which will appear terrible in the ears of those who have heard the pleadings of infinite love and have not responded to the offers of pardon and forgiveness. Injured and insulted deity will speak, proclaiming the sins that have been hidden. As the priests and rulers, full of indignation and terror, sought refuge in flight at the last scene of the cleansing of the temple, so will it be in the work for these last days. The woes that will be pronounced upon those that have had light from heaven and yet did not heed it, they will feel, but will have no power to act. This is represented in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. They cannot obtain a character from the wise virgins, and they have no oil of grace to discern the clear light or to accept it. They cannot light their lamps and join the procession that goes in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Study the revelation in connection with Daniel, for history will be repeated. We must be true and faithful amid the abounding iniquity that prevails. At no period of time are we in such danger as when prosperity seems to crown our efforts. Self must be hidden in God. We are living amid the perils of the last days, and many are insensible to the perils that threaten our world. We, with all our religious advantages, ought to know far more today than we do know. "Watch and pray," said Jesus, "for ye know not when the time is. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Repentance is not a desirable emotion. Christ said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The right eye is to be plucked out, the right hand is to be cut off. There is hidden depravity that needs to be carefully considered and uprooted. God help us individually to purify our souls by obeying the truth. Who are representing Christ? We are living in times that try men's souls. Those in high positions of trust, whom we may call, as God called some in the days of Noah, mighty men, men of renown, know little of the causes that underlie the present state of society. Many do not care to know. Others do not study from cause to effect. Those who hold the reins of government are not able to solve the problem of moral corruption, poverty, pauperism, and increasing crime of every type, manifest in all classes, from the highest to the lowest. They are struggling vainly to place business operations on a more secure basis. The great extremes of wealth and want produce unnumbered evils. In our large cities, there exists an appalling condition of poverty. Multitudes are destitute of food, clothing, or shelter fit for a human being. In the same cities are men of wealth who have more than heart could wish, who live luxuriously, spending their money upon richly furnished houses, upon personal ornament, or worse, upon the gratification of the sensual appetites, upon tobacco, liquors, and other things that destroy the power of the brain, unbalance the mind, and debase the soul. While they are thus selfishly indulging themselves, all heaven is looking down upon these unfaithful stewards. God and angels mark how the means given to men with which to honor the Creator by blessing the world are turned to the gratification of self, to the dishonor of God, and to the neglect of His heritage.
The Prince of Darkness has set in operation every device to ruin and destroy man. He has legions of evil workers uniting with him to obliterate the image of God in our youth. I ask those who are acquainted with truth, who know righteousness, what are you doing? Are you using your influence to bring into the ranks of the Lord's army all whom you can possibly reach? Have you yourself enlisted to fight the battles of the Lord? As Christians, it is our work to represent Christ. We are to set an example that shall be in striking contrast to the practices of this evil age. He that is selfish will neglect to do the very work he ought to do, and take up a work that God has not given him to do. He that loveth pleasure, margin, sport, shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. This breaks up worldly policy and sets aside worldly maxims. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. Consider also these words. For the Lord will plead their cause, and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. While distrust and alienation are pervading all classes of society, Christ's disciples are to reveal the spirit that reigns in heaven. Because the world was ruined through sin, God gave his Son to draw men back to him. He so loved the world that he gave all that heaven could give for the saving of the lost. In every soul who receives that love, it will manifest itself in like manner. God so loved that he gave. If we love with his love, we too shall give all. We shall be co-workers with him whose mission it is to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We shall do the work he has set before us, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke, to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. The Saviour marks all our work as though done unto himself, for he identifies his interest with that of suffering humanity. Everyone who names the name of Jesus is called, so far as it lies in his power, to help every other soul in the heavenward way. But let none feel that Christ has placed them on the judgment seat to pass judgment on a brother or sister who is unfortunate, or who falls into error. Many hearts are sorely stricken, to whom words fitly spoken might bring peace and rest. These souls are a test to their brethren and sisters, revealing what is in the heart. All heaven is looking to see how we treat those that need our help. It is this that reveals whether the glowing fire of the first love is still burning upon the altar of the heart. What a power the church would have in it if all its members were so imbued with the Spirit of Christ as to speak to one another only words of comfort and peace and hope. If none felt it their prerogative to judge, to oppress, to cast a dark shadow on the soul of another. Learning of Christ. I think it would be very becoming to all who claim to follow Christ to be indeed learning of Christ, his methods and his meekness and lowliness of heart. We have a decided message to bear. In Jude 1-8, we have the description of the pollution of the world and the working agencies of Satan to corrupt the world. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, and dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee."
And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Zechariah 3, verse 1. These things are written for our benefit, and we are to study the word in all these things now, for they concern us particularly. There is to be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Our work is to study, to weed out of all our discourses everything that savors of retaliation and defiance and making a drive against churches and individuals, because this is not Christ's way and method. He did not pronounce scathing rebukes against those who did not know the truth, but against those whom God had made the depositaries of sacred responsibilities, a people chosen and favored with every temporal and spiritual advantage, and yet bearing no fruit. The most solemn responsibility for the Jewish nation was when Jesus was in their midst. It was that generation, the generation which rejected him, that was the guilty one. Jesus, speaking sometimes by warning, by judgments, by blessing given and withdrawn, said, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproofs. If thou art destroyed, it is thyself alone who art responsible. Ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." Warning, expostulation, forbearance, and patience are about to cease. Mark the cursing of the fig tree, representing the Jewish nation, covered with leaves of profession, but no fruit to be found thereon. The curse is pronounced upon the fig tree, which represents the moral, thinking, living agent, cursed of God, living as were the Jews for 40 years after this event, yet dead. Mark the other trees, representing the Gentiles, were not covered. They were leafless, making no pretension to having a knowledge of God. Their time of fruit leaving was not yet. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Let not any hard reproaches be made against those who know not the truth. Even the churches are in darkness. Those to whom God has entrusted the treasures of his grace are to be made the living, responsible agents. But what is their position? They have lamps, a knowledge of the truth. But how few have communicated the precious light God has given them? How few have borne fruit to the glory of God? They do not improve the light and privileges given. They do not arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. They have no fruit, and the condemnation of God is upon them. The Lord will not open the eyes that refuse to see. The moistening revives, the sunshine God has given to quicken into life continues, but they remain fruitless. Shall those for whom the Lord has done so much have the form of godliness and stop there? 2 Timothy 3, verse 1-5. Responsibility of the Church. The Lord pities the world, his vineyard which has not been worked. In the midst of wrath, he remembers mercy. His heart of divine mercy is full of love and compassion for the thousands who are in ignorance of the truth. There has been everything done for those who have a knowledge of the truth, to keep them in the truth. But those who know not the truth have not received one tithe of the advantages that they should have had. And thus it continues to be. God help the people to whom he has given every advantage, as he did the Jewish nation, to receive and impart to those who are in ignorance of the light of truth, instead of rejecting the light and blessing. I do not know that you understand this. May the Lord help you to discern. It is not the place of those who have had from Jesus light, precious light, to condemn those to whom this light has never come, and to write or to speak things which will close the ears and the door of the heart and hedge up the way so that Satan's power shall take possession of human minds. To give the imagination a false viewing that will, through any course that we shall pursue, bring on a state of things that will prevent us from reaching the world. This the Jewish nation did. They made themselves obnoxious to the world. How shall correct impressions of what we really do believe be given to our world? By studying methods, not of contention and condemnation, for there are thousands living up to the best light they have, and every means should be used to get the knowledge of the truth before the thousands who will discern evidence, who will appreciate the likeness of Christ in his people, if they have an opportunity to see it. There are those among us who, if they should take time to consider, would regard their do-nothing position as a sinful neglect to use the talents which God has given them.
God has given his messengers the truth to proclaim. Then the churches are to voice the truth from the lips of the messengers and use their talents in every way possible to make the ministry a power to communicate truth by their catching the first rays of light and diffusing the same. Here is our great sin. We are years behind. The ministers have been seeking the hidden treasures and have been opening up the casket and letting the jewels of truth shine forth. But there is not 1/100th part being done by the members of the church that God requires of them. They will, in that great day, be self-convicted and self-condemned for their slothfulness. May the Lord lead them to self-penitence and to see themselves now and to exclaim, "Lord, I am that fruitless fig tree." May the Lord forgive his people who are not doing the work in his vineyard that he has given them to do. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22, verse 16. Study this subject. Read the next verse. We see that this is the very message that has been going forth to the people of God. The large halls in our cities should be secured, that the third angel's message may be proclaimed by human lips. Thousands will appreciate the message. While so much trouble and money have been absorbed in ministerial institutes for those who have the truth and do not appreciate it, thousands are in ignorance of the truth. They know not what the faith of Seventh-day Adventists is. Why do not the church members communicate that which they have received? Why this negligence? Why this selfish neglect when the value of souls is at stake? Why is there not now something being done in a larger measure than has been done? Why are camp meetings kept year after year in the same locality? Why are they not taken to cities that know nothing of our faith? The plea is, there will be a saving of money and labor. Let the saving be done in other lines. But when souls are to be labored for, and the truth is to come before those who know it not, let us not talk of limiting on this line. A world is to be warned. Watch, wait, pray, work. And let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Let nothing be done to increase prejudice, but everything possible to make prejudice less, by letting in light, the bright rays of the sun of righteousness amid the moral darkness. There is a great work to be done yet, and every effort possible must be made to reveal Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior, Christ as the sin-bearer, Christ as the bright and morning star, and the Lord will give us favor before the world until our work is done. We have no time to lose. The end is near. The passage from places to spread the truth will soon be hedged with dangers on the right hand and on the left. Everything will be placed to obstruct our way, so we shall not be able to do that which is possible to be done now. We must look our work fairly in the face and advance as fast as possible in aggressive warfare. I know from the light given me of God that the powers of darkness are working with intense energy from beneath, and with stealthy tread he, Satan, is advancing to take those who are asleep now, as a thief taking his prey. We have warnings now which we may give, a work now which we may do, but soon it will be more difficult than we can imagine. God help us to keep in the channel of light, to work with our eyes fastened on Jesus our leader, and patiently, perseveringly, press on to gain the victory.